So on this Friday, it's time for our weekly look at the news in, around, and about Iraq. We call it The Week in Iraq. And this week, U.S. military officials have reiterated that 2007 has been the bloodiest year to date for U.S. troops since the invasion. But the past few weeks, the story out of Baghdad has been about how the violence is actually going down. In October, 38 American service members died. That's the lowest monthly tally since March 2006. Several newspapers, as well as NPR, all had stories this week about how some Baghdad neighborhoods seem to be getting back to normal, although it's hard to say just what normal is after 5 years of war. Nevertheless, reports say refugees are returning home from abroad, businesses are reopening, there are even more wedding celebrations, something that's been a rarity over the past few years. Here's a clip of a recent wedding celebration posted on the New York Times website. But it's not all celebration. The U.S. military says, although there's been a 55% drop in attacks since the so-called surge this past summer, U.S. commanders have been careful not to overestimate the apparent reprieve. Here's Major General Kevin Bergner, Director of Multinational Force Strategic Efforts in Baghdad.
From our standpoint, the war is not over, and the security situation, again, while improved, requires additional hard work and sacrifice on behalf of the Iraqi security forces and coalition security forces.
So is life in Baghdad getting better? Are the streets safer? Here to talk through all this with us is Alisa Rubin, Baghdad bureau chief for the New York Times, on the line now from Baghdad. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Alisa, you wrote a front page story that was published this week with the headline, Baghdad's Weary Start to Exhale as Security Improves. How do you decide this is the week that we run this story? How do you know when you've collected enough evidence to bear that out?
Well, you know, you of course never know, and things can always get worse again, or get even worse than they've ever been. It can always go in different directions. But as you probably noticed, actually over the past probably month, there have been articles in different places, different publications, noting both the drop in violence and the sort of beginnings of a return to more normal life. I think, you know, if you live here, you really look for the kinds of things that any normal person would look for. You look at how many kids are playing out in a playground. You look at how late stores are open, whether people are going to restaurants. You mentioned the clip we had of weddings. I went to a play the other day. Now, the play was performed in the morning, but it was nonetheless a play, and people got dressed up to come and see it, and it was theater.
Wow.
And that is all something that...
And this happens when you're calling Baghdad.
And there goes Alisa Rubin.
Yeah.
Well,
we're going to try and get her back.
The analysis has to also include the fact that whatever is going on in Baghdad and Iraq has so much reverberations on the U.S. political race. So to say that the surge has been successful is something that Democratic candidates are loath to do. And the Republican candidates will always seize on these figures saying, see, stay the course with me. You know, John McCain says, I've always been a proponent. So since the candidates in America are using the evidence out of Iraq to either justify their own campaigns or to snipe at the other guy, it's harder and harder to get a true story of what's going on. I hope we can ask Alisa about that, because I hear she's back on the line.
Hi, Alisa. Are you there?
Hi.
Thank you.
I'm here. I'm so sorry. That's the telephone system.
You know, that's how it goes. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that you were at a play. Has your own mobility improved? As a journalist, have you noticed a change in the way you do your job now? Is it easier to do the work of journalism in Baghdad?
Well, I think it is. I would say that I don't see much change in my personal way I've been doing my work, but I do think that many more people are getting out more. I think there was a bit of a a period where there just were too many question marks and too many bombs for people to feel very comfortable going out, and a lot of checkpoints that you weren't sure if they were real checkpoints or fake checkpoints, and now that's changing. And I certainly feel more confident going out. I don't worry so much. But, you know, this is Baghdad. It is a long – this is a long war, and there are no-go areas now, and I am sure there will be more of them and in different places in the future. It's just the U.S. military is not at all wrong to, you know, to point out that there's still a lot to be done. But in places, there does seem to be some stability, and that's obviously for many reasons.
So,
but
Aliza, all
in Baghdad and some neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. What has triggered this change then? Is it the surge? Is it the additional 30,000 U.S. troops that were deployed in full in June? Is that what the U.S. military is clearly attributing to that? Is that what Iraqis see as the reason?
Well, I think Iraqis probably think that's one piece of it, and I would agree with them. It is one piece of it, is that there are more U.S. troops on the ground and that they very actively took on extremist Sunni groups who have really triggered a lot of the sectarian violence. And if you can stop them from doing things like suicide bombs, and then you stop some of the cause for the Shiite militias who then do retaliatory violence. But I think there are several elements. One of them is the growth of what they're called these awakening councils. There are these groups of Sunnis who have started to fight al-Qaeda, and that happened sort of parallel with the U.S. military beginning to work with those groups. It was both a grassroots effort and an effort helped along by the U.S. military, and a much more – I don't know that it would have grown anywhere near as – in fact, I'm sure it would not have grown anywhere near as quickly or as widely without the military's effort. So that's a big change. The other one has nothing to do with the U.S. military, which is that Muqtada Sadr told his people
the Shiite cleric
to stand down for 6 months. That made a big difference. That really reduced a lot of violence. Of course, that's any good effect that has had is only going to last as long as he sends out that message to his people. So we have to be, I think, very sensitive to when that changes, because I think then the security situation could begin to deteriorate in some places.
Just really quickly,
if that changes.
Really quickly, Lisa, the U.S. military has maintained all along the goal isn't to completely wipe out the insurgents, but to create enough space to open a window of opportunity for Iraq's central government to come in with a political solution. Do you see, is this as open as the window is going to get, and how likely is it that that solution can be reached in these conditions?
It's hard to tell how open, whether there'll be even more peaceful circumstances. Right now, today, it doesn't look that way with a bomb in the bird and animal market, and also some bombs, a bomb up in Mosul. But
Thank you. It
certainly could persist.
Thank you, Aliza Rubin. I'm sorry to cut you off. We'll have more on the blog. She's the Baghdad bureau chief for the New York Times. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.